But Death Row was a very fast life, man. Parties every night, private jets. We was living like kings. But I never expected to end that type of life. I never expected that that life would come to an end so drastically and so soon.
There's gonna be some stuff you're gonna see that's gonna make it hard to smile in the future.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of The Dean Show, where we're here at CAN TV 36, Wednesdays midnight, and Thursdays at 2 p.m. We're going to continue on talking about this week with our good friend from the former group, The Outlaws, which his name is Napoleon. He was with Tupac Shakur. Hip-hop, which is a billion-dollar industry. We want to kind of get to know the ins and outs of it and see if we can share his experiences when we come back here on The Dean Show. You do not want to go anywhere.
Dean, Allah, there's only one God and Muhammad is his messenger. Allah, la ilaha illallah. Allah, there's only one God and Jesus was his messenger. Allah, la ilaha illallah.
I don't know why I did that. Maybe it's just to break the ice.
My name is Mutah Bill. Most people know me as Napoleon, a former member of the Tupac Outlaws. In my short life, man, I experienced a lot of things out there. Flown on private jets, albums that sold over 40 million copies worldwide. Shootouts, street fights, club fights, whatever you name it, been there, done that. Man, I experienced the ups and downs of this fast life. So I want to share with you my story, this Napoleon.
We're here on The Dean Show with Napoleon from The Outlaws. Went from selling millions of records, hanging out with Tupac Shakur. Now you're kicking it with Eddie from The Dean Show.
Yeah, I'm on The Dean Show. Better than the Oprah Show.
Alhamdulillah. All right, so they can go to thedeanshow.com, and there you have your section. And we talked about in previous shows about how you actually came to this way, the way of submission and surrender to the creator of the heavens and the earth, following the same way of life of Jesus, Moses, Noah, Abraham, and all the messengers of God, including the last and final messenger sent to mankind, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him.
Definitely.
Now, tell us, for those of the audience who don't know much about the Outlaws or Tupac, let's start off with educating them a little bit about this.
Tupac, he's a rapper that became one of the biggest rappers in the history of rap music. He's in the Guinness Book of World Records for selling over 60 million records worldwide. He also became an aspiring actor. He had an acting career as well. Tupac put a rap group together called The Outlaws, which he was also a member of this rap group. It was myself and a few other members that most of the members of The Outlaws are basically blood relatives to Tupac Shakur. So all the rap records that myself along with The Outlaws performed on was 40 million records worldwide. I think The Outlaws is the only underground, I won't even say underground, we're the only rap group that ever performed on 40 million records worldwide. I don't think there's another group out there that can say the same. But that lifestyle, after the money, the cars, and the fame, that lifestyle started to get depressing to me. And I started to search for true happiness. And alhamdulillah, all praise due to God, is I found it through the religion of Islam. And most of the people don't know, living in America, living anywhere in the world, that when we look for some type of happiness, we usually turn to drugs, to partying, to womanizing. And we notice that this type of happiness is a temporary type of happiness. Once your drug wear off, you back to sober, your life, you back to reality. But Allah says in the Quran, truly the hearts find tranquility in the remembrance of Allah, the remembrance of God. So the only way that we can ever even taste true success in this life and the next life is following the religion of Islam. Because this is the religion legislated down to us from the creator of the heavens and the earth. This is the life that he told us to choose.
Now, did you have an opportunity to hang out with some of these other rappers like Biggie Smalls. Well, that was actually an opponent of Tupac.
Biggie Smalls, but it was a time that Tupac and Biggie was friends.
They were?
It was a time they was friends. I was on the same record label with rappers like Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg. Uh-huh. We was actually label mates. So it was a time
you hung out with both of them?
It was a time we was very close. Yes, with Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg. It was a time that every weekend, Tupac and the Outlaws, we would go to Snoop Dogg house and we had our basketball competition.
Oh, you know Snoop Dogg also?
Yeah, we was on the same label, definitely. Yeah. We did music together. You know, I did music with some of the biggest, Snoop Dogg, Scarface, and Tupac. We did music with some of the biggest legends out there. You know what I mean?
What's this, Eric B. and Rakim?
Eric B. and Rakim. Yeah, they was before my time.
Yeah.
They was before my time.
Who are some of the big names right now?
Right now, some of the big names in the music industry.
That you hung out with from before?
Right now, some of the new artists, I really don't know too much of them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't know too much of them, but Snoop Dogg, Dr. Dre, Scarface, these are the legends. Bone Thugs and Harmony. These are the people in my time I was rolling with, touring with, doing music with in my time.
Now, do you keep in touch with any of them?
Unfortunately, man, I fell out of contact, but that's what I'm working on now, is to get back in contact with these people because, you know, we want to call them to Islam. You know what I mean? We want to call them to Islam.
Did any of them, Tupac's family, ever accept Islam?
Tupac, he has quite a few members of his family that's Muslim. Recently, a few members of his family accepted Islam. Tupac, at a young age, he knew about Islam. One day I was talking to his sister, Pac's sister.
She's still alive?
She's still alive. Yeah. May Allah guide her to Islam. I was talking to his sister and she was telling me we were talking about Islam. And she was telling me how one day she was trying to go to sleep and it was as if it was something that was on top of her. And she was telling me it wasn't a dream. She said it wasn't a dream. Whatever it was, it kept trying to go to whisper to her. And she was saying that she just got saved, as what it's so-called saved. They claim you save when you become a Christian or something like that. So she was saying that she started to say a prayer from the Bible. And she said for some reason she started to say Al-Fatiha, which is a prayer from the Islamic prayer, and it's actually the first chapter of the Quran.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين.
She said when I started to recite Al-Fatiha, whatever that was, it disappeared.
Yeah.
She said, whatever the feeling I was going through, whatever it was that felt like it was holding me down, it disappeared when I started to recite the Arabic prayer that the Muslims pray 5 times a day. So me and her started talking more about Islam, and she recognized that, you know, that this is a religion that she tell me, she say, I'm going to die as a Muslim, and only Allah knows best. And we pray that she do accept the religion of Islam. But also, you got all the members of the Outlaws became Muslim, and Big G, he's an uncle of Tupac, he just became Muslim. He had two cousins. Tupac had two very close cousins, which is Bill and Kenny. They've been Muslim for years.
Yeah.
So Islam was he was surrounded by Muslims.
What do you think now when you see people like on the corners, selling the drugs, listening to the hip-hop, emulating a lot of these famous rappers? I mean, what advice do you give to people like that?
Well, I try to give the people advice where, one, that this type of lifestyle only leads to destruction. You know what I mean? Even the rappers are smart enough to stop selling drugs. This is the reason why they become musicians. Even the rappers are tired of living in the ghettos and hanging on the corner. This is the reason they put out rap records, so they can get away from that life. And most of the rappers, once they come out with records, you notice that they leave the hood because they know that their life is sickening. They know that their life only going to have an end that's going to be destructive for them if they stay into that lifestyle. But unfortunately, like I mentioned earlier, it's the people that behind the scenes that try to make the rappers continue to put that music out. So it's like it's confusing to the kids. They say for one reason, the rappers are tired of that lifestyle, but they still talk about it in their music. You know what I mean? And I think that more rappers need to come out and educate the kids that this is an entertainment. They should tell the kids, look here, man, this is how I make my money. If you come to my house, I live in the biggest house on the East Coast of America. I'm no longer a drug dealer. If you're going to listen to my music, know that this is entertainment.
So I think one thing is that we forget about death. And we get caught up into the tantalization of this world.
Yes.
Tell us now, were you there when Tupac died?
I wasn't there when Tupac died, but I actually, matter of fact, I was there when he died. I wasn't there when he got shot. He got shot and died 6 days later in the hospital. And for me, one of the things that hit me is...
How old was he, if you don't...
Pac was 25 years old.
And what happened then?
One of the things that hit me is when it made me start to think how Pac... It was a time that he used to always speak about death. And he used to speak about how he don't want to live anymore. And it was when he started to make a lot of money when he went to Death Row Records. And I remember his conversation started to talk... He started to speak about how he want to live now so he can enjoy his money and enjoy the way that he live in his life. And unfortunately, a few months later, that's when he died. So I started to notice right there and started to think that we don't have no control over when we're going to die. You know what I mean? Most people think that they know when they're going to die, but we don't know when we're going to drop dead. So it's about time that we should start investigating what's going to happen to us when we're dead, because this life is temporarily and the next life is forever and it's real. You know, either the hellfire or even paradise. It's no other option.
I mean, that makes sense that you're going to have accountability. When you bring the rental car back, they do an inspection. You're going to be accountable if you've done it up.
Definitely.
You've been given air, you've been given your eyes, your health, and you think you're just going to run around this life and you know, do what you please.
Yeah,
and
there's
not someone who orchestrated this, who put this together, who designed it, and now you're not going to be accountable.
Exactly.
We got courts of law. If you do certain things, man wants to hold you accountable.
Definitely.
What about the Creator?
What about the Creator? That makes a lot of sense. Definitely.
Yeah.
What about, that's something that the people need to think about. Why are they created? Maybe we should all ask ourselves, sit back and say, wait a minute, why am I created? What's going to happen to me when I'm dead? Most people, we so busy with this life that we never even sit and ask ourselves why we created. You know?
Now, I know certain people that I used to throw it in other people's ears that, you know what? Hey, all we're going to have when we get older is stories to tell. Life is short. Let's get it while we can.
Mm.
What about this way of thinking?
That way of thinking is, man, that's a dangerous way of thinking.
Yeah.
Very dangerous way of thinking.
It's a misguided way of thinking.
Because, one, we're not promised that we're going to even live tomorrow. So if you know that it's a chance that you could die any day, you should start thinking about the next life. You should say, well, this life is running away from me. Let me try to stack up something that's going to help me in the next life. Even if you get it in this life, you never seen a person going to his grave with a U-Haul truck.
Yeah.
You never see a person, everything he accomplished in this life, you never see him meeting them in the grave.
Uh-huh.
So it's very important that why would you get something in this life and stack up all the stuff of this dunya, this world, and when you're in your grave, it's not going to come with you. The only thing that's going to follow us in our graves is our deeds.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's the only thing we're going to take with us.
So the Rolls Royce, the Bentley, the Ferrari, the Rolex, all these things of material that we're chasing,
definitely,
that's got to stay behind.
It's going to stay behind, and you're going to be surprised what the people are going to do with it when you leave. You know what I mean? Most people might fight each other, kill each other over it.
Yeah.
So it's best to try to stack up something that's going to come with us and pay attention to what's going to come with us, and that's our deeds. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's amazing how it's kind of like a mirage.
Mm.
It's an illusion that we think if we just attain this amount of money, this kind of car, maybe with some details here and there on it, that I'm going to have some solace. I'm going to have some comfort in life.
And that's the crazy part about it. I thought the same way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I thought that if I get a big house and cars and money in my bank account, man, this is the ultimate happiness.
Yeah.
And when I reached that level, man, I was so depressed. And if that's the case, how come you have millionaires and billionaires committing suicide? They have all the money, but they still murder themselves. They still commit suicide because money... It's not going to bring you happiness. You know what I mean? Money, you cannot buy happiness.
Yeah.
And people might say that, well, I have money, I can buy happiness. But this type of stuff, it's not going to bring happiness. It's going to make you depressed.
You can see a lot of these celebrities actually deteriorating in front of our eyes.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
So one thing I want to just note that obviously in Islam, there's nothing wrong with money.
Nothing wrong with it.
But if you're making that money, you're God.
No.
If you're putting that money before everything else, and that's it, money, money, work, work, money, money, and you forget about the one who created you, then there's a problem.
It's a problem, because Islam, we make money, as long as it's permissible according to the Sharia and the way that Allah prescribed for us to make our money, but we should always remember that we shouldn't get to the point where all we care about, like you just mentioned, is money, and we forget about the next life, because money comes and go. I had so much money in my life, and Allah takes it, He gives to whom He pleases, so the main thing is that we should always remember that one day we're going to be in that grave.
Yeah.
One day we're going to be in that grave. You know what I mean?
Tupac is there. He was 25 years old. There was another one who just followed him. Did he die afterwards or before? Biggie Smalls.
Biggie Smalls died. He probably was about 23. These people was kids, man. It was young.
That person that's saying, like, I still got time, because that's what a trick also. Now, you're thinking that, you know, I got a little procrastination.
Exactly. People think, for example, the other day I was reading the news, And I'm sure you guys heard about the people that died on the Air France plane in Brazil.
Yeah, like almost 300 people.
300 people died. They never probably thought that they're going to get on this plane and not make it back to see their loved ones.
Yeah.
But one of the things that happened that was surprising to me was a lady that actually missed that flight.
Yeah, she missed her name was...
I forgot her name, but she actually... If this is the same lady that missed that flight, and 2 days later, 3 days later, she got killed in a car accident. And this is something, when it's your time to die, you're going to die. You might miss your... You might didn't get on that plane because it wasn't written for you to die that time and that day. And your death was only 3 days later. She might have thought, well, since I didn't die on that plane, I got a long life to live. God went good for me. You know the people mentality. They think that I'm not going to die. And she died 3 days later in a car accident. So we cannot escape death. You know what I mean?
Wherever you're at, it's going to catch you.
Yeah, so subhanAllah.
Do you know any other rappers or any other people that you associated with that actually are also dead? We got two of them here, 25,
you got Tupac,
23.
You got Biggie. Gaddafi, this is the guy who introduced me to the Outlaws. I mean, introduced me to Tupac. Gaddafi was my childhood friend. He was one of the members of the Outlaws. He got killed accidentally by my little cousin 2 months later after Tupac died. You know what I mean? So I think ODB, he just passed away a few years ago, overdose on drugs. Another rapper, I think, I forgot his name, they found dead in a hotel. Not even if we would say that the rappers are dying, man. Everybody around us, if we notice people around us dying every single day.
Yeah, I don't want to have people feel like this is a call to pessimism. I think this is something that we should be optimistic about. This is a better life.
Definitely.
That there's a permanent life.
Definitely. We shouldn't be afraid to die. We shouldn't be afraid to die, because we know that if we live in our life according to Islam the correct way, that the life will be better in the next life, and it'll be something forever. Yeah. If this life is only temporarily. So a person that has common sense, a wise person would say, for example, if I have a chance to live a better life forever, I'd rather take that life forever than a temporarily life. You know what I mean? This life is only temporarily. Who in their right mind would want to get everything and just basically forge the next life, do all this stuff in this life, that they can lose the next life that would be forever? Nobody in their right mind would take that opportunity. You know what I mean?
It doesn't make sense. I mean, definitely. And we just get caught up in this world here. And like I said, it's good to be the best at whatever you're striving to be. A doctor, a scientist, a mathematician, you know, the best husband, the best wife. But again, you have a Lord.
Definitely.
You have the Creator.
Definitely.
He's not one who comes into existence. He's not a man. He's not the sun. He's not the moon. He's the one that created all these things.
Definitely.
Worship him. Submit to him.
Exactly. It's only right. He created us. He provides for us. Man, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the provider for everything that we don't even know exists. The creatures in the sea. Like we mentioned yesterday, man, it might be snowing in Alaska, hot in Saudi Arabia, rain in New York City, tornadoes down south in Texas. All this happened with the permission of Allah. None of this happened without the permission of Allah. They blame it on global warming, but this is happening with the wisdom and permission of Allah. So we just think about subhanAllah. Look at all the affairs that Allah does every single day. Every second, He bringing somebody to life, taking the life of a person. Yep. He's providing for this creature in the sea. He's providing for this ant. He's providing for us. He's protecting us. Man, it's only right that we worship Him alone, because He's the one who created us. He's the one that provided for us, protect us. And all He asks from us back is that we worship Him alone. For example, it's a hadith where the Prophet ﷺ said that it would be a man drugged out of the hellfire. He would be dragged out of the hellfire. And Allah would ask this man, He would say that if you have all the treasures in the heavens and the earth, will you give it up to ransom yourself from the hellfire? This man would say yes. Allah would say, man, I ask you only for less than that. I only ask you to worship me alone. Yeah. He didn't ask us for all the treasures of the heavens and the earth. All He asks from us is that we worship Him alone. You know what I mean?
And that entails that your prayer, your sacrifice, your life, your end is for the Creator, not the creation.
Definitely,
Jesus,
definitely.
He was born and He prayed to the Creator. See, He's not God.
Definitely not.
Muhammad's not God. Moses not God. The Son is not God.
Yeah.
So this is something that it just goes with your very nature. It's very simple.
Definitely.
Let's talk about a few more things before we come to an end.
Yes.
I mean, it seems like, you know, people living from weekend to weekend. The girl, she likes to display, and the men, they like to chase.
SubhanAllah, it's a rat race out here, man.
Yeah. So
it's a rat race.
We don't want these women. At the same time, God Almighty, the Creator, knows what's best.
So now
the woman, she's naive, thinking that, okay, this man loves me, when he's just chasing the one thing. And the man over here on the other end, this is his target. And he'll say and do anything.
They take advantage of the woman. The woman a woman will never ever know her rights until she become a Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything else in life is calling a woman to strip her from everything, strip her from her respect, strip her from her clothing, strip her from her even sense of thinking, to be logical, man. The only way a woman would know her rights is through the religion of Islam. And surprisingly, before I became a Muslim, I didn't know that. I thought that this is the way we treat women. I thought that this is the way a woman's supposed to behave. And it's a true story about a preacher, man, who did a, he wrote a story about so much divorce that's happening in America. He's a Christian. And he was talking about the problem of the woman in the West. And one of the things he said is that in this society, our women, when they wake up in the morning to go work, they beautify themselves. They put all the makeup on. They put the mini skirts on, the high heel shoes, and they go beautify themselves with their boss and their coworkers. Then when they come home from work, he said they take all the makeup off. They take off the high heel shoes. They just wrap their hair in a scarf, and they put on big sweatpants, and they walk around the house tired. They're so tired that they have no rights, no energy to even give their husband their rights. And when I read that, I said, SubhanAllah, look at the wisdom of Islam. And our religion, our women, when they walk out of the house, they cover themselves from head to toe. They do not beautify themselves for no one. And they walk back in the house, that's when they take off their jilbab, they take off their headscarf, and they beautify themselves for their man. That's when they get to put on the makeup, they put on whatever type of clothes they want that's pleasing to their man. This is the wisdom of Islam. Everything that Allah tells us to do in this religion, it makes 100% sense, it makes sense, and it's only for us. It's only to better ourselves.
That makes sense. I mean, to be a slave, not to the fashion or your desires,
yes,
to definitely. Be modest, to not go outside naked, skin-tight clothes, and just be tantalizing for the man. Now he can't, he's about to have a heart attack, and you got all sorts of mischief going on, where
definitely.
You surrender and submit to your creator, you dress modestly,
yes.
and you save all that good that looking stuff for your husband.
Yes, and when they go home, that's when they can wear whatever they want,
yeah.
and they beautify themselves for their husband. So the religion of Islam is the religion that's for the whole of humanity. This is the only thing that's going
to
help us.
We don't want to put nobody down. We don't want, I mean, some people don't know. You get used to the culture around you, but you just use the good old common sense.
Yeah, and try Islam. That's all we're going to tell the people. Try Islam.
Yeah.
If you're looking, a person know they self. If you're unhappy, if you're depressed, if something don't feel correct in your heart, if you feel you have a void in your heart, just try Islam. You know, try to get closer to your creator. And you will see that your life will become better, inshallah.
He said the word in Arabic, but if we define it, surrender, submission, obedience, sincerely, and in peace to the Creator, summed up with one word, Islam.
Islam.
Try it.
Yeah, try
so
Islam.
The reason I brought this up about the women in the nightclubs and the men chasing and the women flaunting is because that's what you were writing songs about.
Definitely.
That's what you were and who you were degrading.
Definitely.
In these rap videos, and then
definitely.
You got the woman in the back, you know, shaking it and no clothes on.
I would call that the oppression of women.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you got the people that attack Islam and say that we oppress our women. I would say that I used to oppress women because this is the music, this is the lifestyle, the culture that I was brought up with, that I had no respect for the woman.
Yeah.
You have records that, man, SubhanAllah, if you just listen to some of these records, I'm not telling people to go listen, but some of the words that the people are saying in their records have no respect for a woman.
Yeah.
And the woman don't even notice. How can you have respect for yourself? You dancing in these videos and they basically degrading you to the fullest, you know what I mean?
They don't care about you.
They don't care about you, definitely.
The more you take off, the more we'll pay you.
And that's the mentality. Take everything off, you a model. This is what we tell them.
Yeah.
But the religion of Islam, man, it actually is the religion that it basically give the woman her freedom. It give the woman her respect.
This is an amazing thing because you can't imagine how many women will fast for the man. She actually fasted for the man because she's a model, and she will refrain from eating certain foods so she can lose a little weight.
Wow.
Try fasting for the creator,
wow.
huh?
Wow, fasting.
She'll get down and do certain things for that dollar.
Wow.
Why not get down and do it for the creator?
Wow.
Because we love those women.
Wow.
We love the men. We want them
we
to
want
be
good for them.
We
definitely.
Want good for them, but there's an illusion. There's something that is confusing to people.
Yeah, this life is not a that type of lifestyle. It's not a loyal lifestyle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They will put up one woman in a video. And as soon as she get a 2-3 years older, she will not be able to get no work.
She's done.
They
finished.
Will use her.
Get the next one.
Yeah, we don't need you anymore. Go to the next one. And this is a cycle that the way they continue to use these women.
I and yourself, and I'm sure all the sincere Muslims do not want our women to get used.
Definitely not. Definitely not.
And I think this is very important. Any true seeker, any sincere person just uses the good old common sense will see that this makes
definitely,
sense.
Definitely, man.
Yeah.
And we tell the people that they listen, if you want freedom in life, if you want respect, if you want basically some type of happiness in your life, you have to go to your creator. He's the one that's in control of everything. He's the one that... He's in control of the respect. He's in control of the money. He's in control of everything. We have to return back to our Creator to get any type of happiness. You know?
That's the truth. Yeah. It's very simple. Now, tell us, what advice do you have for the people now? They want good. I mean, most people, yeah, they want good. They want good, but they don't have a plan. They don't have a system. And there's some confusion out there. Some people just give up. They say, I believe in God. But I don't want to follow an organized religion. What do you guys say about this?
Basically, one is most people that say that, they believe in God and they just say, well, I'm doing right. God understand I'm doing right and I'm not doing wrong. But who to say what's right and wrong? One of the reasons why God sent us prophets and messengers is to teach us what's right and wrong. We can't say what's right and wrong according to our desires. Some people might say, well, I'm not going around killing any people. I only smoke one blunt a day, so I'm not that bad. You know what I mean? Yeah. This is the mentality of most of the people. But the one way we define right and wrong is what God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, tell us what to stay away from or what to implement in our life. This is what's right and wrong. And this is why he sent us prophets and messengers. And if that was the case, we wouldn't need no prophet and messenger. We can just believe in God and live life the way we want to live life. So it's very important that if a person, like we said earlier, man, God created us. He know what's best for us.
Yeah.
He know what's best for us. So if he send down a religion and a way of life and tell us that this is what's going to help us in this life and the next life, then we need to listen to and follow that religion. For example, when you're in a university or a college, if you have a study, you have a test, and the teacher give you a book and say, well, you have to study this book in order to pass your test, most people will put all, they would just go stay up all night studying that book. Allah sent us down the Quran, and he sent us the last messenger, and he tell us that this is the way we have to live our life. This is the ultimate test that's going to help us either go get to Jannah, paradise, or if we disobey Allah and don't follow this book, we can go to the hellfire. Yeah. So this is the ultimate test in life that we have to follow the way that God sent down to us to follow.
You know, it's like your boss. He said, look, do A, B, and C, and you're going to get paid.
Yes.
Don't do your job, you're out of a job, you're fired.
You're going to listen to that boss.
Exactly.
You know, you're going to listen to that boss.
Yeah, but the creator, when he says fired, he means the fire, the hellfire.
Let's stay away. Protect us from that.
Yeah.
I mean.
Tell us now, you do some speaking, you go and you travel all around the world, helping out the youth, helping out the people, you know, sharing your story.
Definitely.
People want to get in touch with you.
Yes.
Where
can
they
get in contact, they can reach me from my website, through my website, www.napoleonoutlawed.com. I also just launched a clothing line, Meme Clothing, MIMclothing.com, you know, so we wait for the people to holler at me.
One last thing, closing comments and suggestions. That person who's living from weekend to weekend, hanging out at the nightclubs, she wants to impress the men, he wants to chase the woman, and you know what? Now their conscience is eating up at them. They want to do the right thing. What advice do you have for them?
My advice that for the people that's searching and they looking for the right thing, like I mentioned earlier, man, go get an English translation of the Quran. Go to a masjid if you have any masjids in your neighborhood or on the internet. Go read about the religion of Islam or read about the biography of the Prophet Muhammad. If you're looking for good, the owner of all good is Allah, the creator of the heavens and the earth. If you're looking for respect, the owner of all respect is Allah. So we have to return to Allah to get some type of happiness, to get our life in order. We have to follow the life that was prescribed from us from our creator. It's the only way we have some type of happiness inside.
Jazakallah khairan, may the creator of the heavens and earth Allah reward you.
And
thank you. Thank you sincerely. We're here not to judge you. We're trying to help you get things together before you get judged, before the day of judgment, because we will all die and we will be accountable for our actions. And we know there's some confusion, let's say, out there. But you could do something very simple. Ask the Creator alone to guide you, and then use the good old common sense that He gave you. Look, if you were trying to find an essay, for instance, that was written by Shakespeare, and then you had 20 of them, and the rest were written by two-year-olds, for example. Are you telling me you would not be able to find the one written by Shakespeare? With all these ways of life, confusion, and the devil, Shaitan, setting up falsehood out there, you're telling me you're not going to be able to find the one way, the correct way, that is from the creator of the heavens and the earth. Don't fool yourself. Be sincere with yourself. Do the little bit of the legwork. You worked hard to get that PhD. You worked hard to get that high school diploma or even the GED. You can work a little bit to get close and find out who your Lord is. It's very simple. And if you need more information, call the number 1-800-662-ISLAM and visit us here every week on The Deen Show. Until then, assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you.
Come and see what everyone's talking about.
Prove. If you find one contradiction, it can't be from God.
But the rational idea, the rational explanation is, you do your best.
Give up worshiping God as one. I will never give up spreading this message.
I hope that you take that necessary step. You don't know if you're going to live till tomorrow. So you got to find that urgency to do the right thing right now.
The reality of life usually doesn't sink in until tragedy comes.
You get a few bad people, the media grabs a hold of that and spins it the way they want to.
If you say that you do not believe in Jesus, you have stepped outside of Islam. You cannot be a Muslim. It is a tenet of our faith to